Well, we Wednesday morning, I woke up and I a song was rolling through my mind about casting your care on the Lord. And then the Lord started giving me a message with that. So I want to share that with you this morning. And I think about that we are made, as people, we are made to go the distance from here to heaven. The Lord's outfitted us, and He wants us to make it safely in and not be sidetracked and not lose out by the way. The Lord's made that. And I think about some of the things that might be too much for us to take with us on our journey. There's some things that are too heavy for you and me to carry. And they come to us in our life, and we can't help it. They just come. And they may come in the way of a hurt or an affliction or a problem or a misunderstanding or something we don't understand. All those things are going to come in our lives. It's too heavy many times for us to carry those things to heaven. We can't, they won't go in heaven to start with. And if we try to carry them somewhere along the way, we'll wear out and it'll be too much for us. And the Lord's made, He's made a way for us to make it in. And I think about, I think about things that have to go the distance in this life. And, you know, we've went around the country putting in store fixtures and had to meet trucks all over the place. And, you know, when they shipped them from here in Edmond, maybe, to California, they didn't try to carry them. And they didn't try to put them on wheels and push them. And they didn't try to pull them with their car. They put them on a semi. Something made to carry the weight. And you know, those trucks were loaded. Sometimes one piece might weigh 800 pounds or more. And the whole truck was loaded. And you know, life is a little bit that way sometimes. And there's things that come along, as we said. We're not made to carry life's cares. And so the Lord's given us a few instructions for it. And I want to look at Jesus over in Matthew 27 and verse 26 at the way He handled some of His cares that came His way. Matthew 27 and 26. It says, "Then released He Barabbas unto them, and when He had scourged Jesus, He delivered Him to be crucified." Now we know who that's talking about, don't we? Pilate did that. And here was Jesus doing His business and trying to be a blessing to everyone. Trying to do God's will. He was doing God's will. And yet this came to Him, and it was God's will for Him. And it says, Pilate, when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered Him to be crucified. Now I want us to think just a minute about some of what went on. I want to read a little from Clark's commentary about what happened when they scourged someone. Because when they took slaves, And they were considered worthy of death by hanging by the cross, then they scourged them first. And this was something that was commonly done at times. And so we find it says this is allowed to have been a very severe punishment of itself among the Romans. The flesh being generally cut by the whips used for this purpose. Sometimes it seems they were whipped to death before they ever got to the cross. Another writer, and this is still in Clark's, quoting different writers, it has been thought that Pilate might have spared this additional cruelty of whipping and just gave him the punishment of the cross. But no, it was in Jesus' lot to bear it all, wasn't it? It was in his lot for our sake to bear it all. And you know, his disciples didn't understand that. Nobody understood that but Jesus. But maybe Pilate could have spared him this. But it appears that it was a common custom to scourge those criminals which were to be crucified. See Josephus. And lenity in Christ's case is not to be allowed. He must take all the misery in full tale. Tacitus, the Roman historian, mentions the death of Christ in very remarkable terms. Nero put those who commonly went by the name of Christians to the most exquisite tortures. The author of this name was Christ. The author of the name of Christians was Christ. And so Tacitus, the Roman historian, wrote about this. Who was capitally punished in the reign of Tiberius by Pontius Pilate, the procurator? You know, we find here that was the beginning of some sorrows that Jesus experienced. And so not only was he whipped, but then they took him. And if we begin to read on in that chapter 27 from 26 to 32, it says here, then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers, and they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." Now, if you've read this, and this seems like all it was, that was enough, wasn't it? But it was much more than that. Because when they whipped him, when they scourged Jesus, sometimes it brought people to death. It was a torturous thing. And so then they took him and mocked him and put the crown of thorns on his head. And it says they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. That just seems too much. And after that, they had mocked him. They took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him after all the rest. And you know, I want us to think for a few minutes about this little situation here. Jesus, excuse me, Jesus knew this was going to happen. And so when he went there, it wasn't like, what's going to happen here? He already knew he was going to suffer tremendously. He had to prepare for that. And do you know that it was too heavy for him? You know that it was too heavy for him emotionally to think about what he was fixing to go through? Folks, the Lord set this up before we ever got here. And I want to read to you in Luke 22 and 39 to 44 a little about what happened here. Because Jesus set the example for us. 22 and 39. And he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, "Pray that ye enter not into temptation." And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. Saints, I want to give you what I feel like the Lord gave to me. There are things that will come into our life. And I know I've been I've preached a few times in the past, in the recent past maybe, about some of these kind of things. But some of those things are going to come into our life. Do you know that in His grace that God prepared us for these things, that He made it possible that no matter what you experience in your life, He made it possible for us to be strengthened for what we're going to go through. And so when Jesus was come to this place, we've never any of us been to this place. And when He came to this place, He needed something more than He had as a human. And yet He was God. And so we see Him here, and it says He knelt and prayed. We know He prayed three times. And you know, an angel came and strengthened Him. Folks, that is the thing that the enemy does blind our eyes with if we look only at our trouble or our weight. I want to encourage us this morning that we look to the Lord that is able. He is able to keep us from falling.
Yes.
He's able to give us grace for every trial.
Yes.
He's able to take us to heaven and make it from where we are at all the way to the gates. But folks, it's not going to be by our strength.
Amen.
It's going to be because we have tapped into that source of grace and strength that only the Lord will supply. And so when Jesus came here, and it says that, I believe in this same reading maybe, and there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, verse 43, strengthening him, and being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. Now, this morning, I just want to encourage us, folks. This was too heavy for Jesus. It was too much. It was too much for his flesh. It was too much for his emotional system. And there are things like that for us. There are things we don't understand sometimes in life. And the Lord's not always just going to open the door and say, here, this is the way to... Sometimes we got to bear it a while. And then He tells us the answer. You know, in that time, I want to encourage us to tap into that place where the angels minister to us.
Yeah.
Where the grace of God comes down into our souls and gives us an overcoming grace that is much greater than the battle.
Yeah.
Do we believe the Lord can do this morning?
Yeah.
But many of us know the Lord can do this morning and has so many times, hasn't He? I want to encourage us not to look at your battle, not to look at the things that are before you. Jesus was right here. He was kind of beholding it. He knew. And He sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. He knew what He was fixing to go through, and He knew it was too much for Him. And He sought for grace from God.
Yes.
And He prayed. And the Lord sent an angel to strengthen him. You know, when an angel strengthens you, it changes things, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, Elijah, he got out there and he ran for his life when Jezebel said he was going to kill him the next day. He was going to be dead. And he ran. And you know, he went to sleep. And you know, an angel tapped him on the shoulder, woke him up. And you know what? He said, take and eat. When the angel fed him, he went 40 days and 40 nights in the strength of that, didn't he? You know, this morning, folks, we quit because we look at our troubles and trials instead of looking to the Lord.
Amen.
We fail because we do that.
Yes,
the Lord has the kind of grace and strength for us to make it in, but we can't carry the load. Just like we couldn't carry in our car or on our hands or push to the West Coast all kinds of fixtures and things. Folks, it takes something more. Put them on the train, put them on the truck, and they go easily. It's no problem at all.
Yeah.
Folks, we have to get some things over to the Lord like that. And He wants us to learn the secret of of transferring our load to the Lord, because He'll carry it. We don't have to carry it. I know sometimes that takes a little bit of seeking the Lord. But you know, this is what the Lord showed us. It's His way. Transfer the burden to the Lord. The things we don't understand, folks, if we dwell on those things, it'll take us out sometimes. I have seen people, I have watched it, when they got their eyes on something they didn't understand, and they began to think about it. And every time you talk to them, they talk about it. And it's in their life. And I'm guessing when they got down to pray, they were thinking about it. Instead of transferring that load to the Lord and beginning to seek Him. Lord, I don't understand myself. I don't understand what's going on here. But I know that You have the kind of grace to take me through until I reach the other end. Yeah. Until I reach all the way through. If I transfer the load to You, then I know I can get there. Folks, I know this is a really simple little message, but I will tell you this. It is also very powerful what the Lord can do. Yeah. And so when we tap into these things, I don't apologize for that simplicity. It is in the simplicity of the gospel that we make heaven our home. Yes, and so in 1 Peter 5 and 7, I want to read here. It says here, 1 Peter 5 and 7, casting. What's that mean? All your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Y'all ever, has anybody here ever went fishing with a fishing pole? I'm guessing a lot of us. You children, you ever been fishing? You take that weight and at first you throw it and it just comes back at you. It seems like you can't let loose of that thing. You throw it and hit the knob at the same time and it just bobs around. But there's a time that you learn to let go. And when you push that knob and throw that line, it goes. And it'll go a long ways if you learn to cast. It'll go over there where the fish are. You know, this morning, Peter tells us, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. He wants us to know that He cares. He wants us to know that He understands. He'll carry our load and He'll carry us too, if we'll let Him. And so that word casting, it means to throw upon, to cast upon. And it literally means to cast away from us. And these scriptures we've heard many times, haven't we? Do we use them to our most effective best? I think the Lord wants us to live to our privileges. And many times we don't if we're not careful. We keep our hand, we keep our thumb on that little lock, and that line just don't go. And we cast it, but it don't leave. That's because we haven't let go. You know, Jesus went to God and He said, "Not my will, but thine be done." And He let go. And He said, "Father, if it be possible, let this depart from me." But He knew that God wanted Him to do that. And so He let go. And He said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And folks, if we want our things that trouble us, bother us, the things we don't understand, you know what? Pray about it. "Lord, I don't understand this thing, but I'm going to give it to You. I'm going to cast it over to You. And I'm going to let You carry the weight. And then I'm going to walk along." That's so simple, it's hard to understand. It's just so simple, isn't it? It's hard to do sometimes. But I believe the Lord wants us to do that. In Psalm 55 and 22, we read another scripture that, of course, we've heard so many times. Psalm 55 and 22. "Cast thy burden..." Now listen to the promise here, because it's tied together. It says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Now, if we try to carry the things that trouble us, even our sins, if we sin, folks, Jesus wants to take that from us. And he wants to give us a life that's pure and holy all the rest of our life. And where we quit that business. But folks, if we, no, I just feel so bad. Listen, let it go. Come to the Lord. Give ourselves to him and tell him, Lord, whatever you want in my life, that's the only thing I want. And begin to seek his grace. And I want to tell you something. He'll give you that grace to make it to heaven. Thank the Lord this morning. Amen. He said there, he shall sustain thee if we cast our burden on the Lord. And he said, he shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. What a promise that is.
Yes.
Never suffer the righteous to be moved. Clark says, while a man is righteous, trusts in, and depends upon God, he will never suffer him to be shaken. While he trusts in God and works righteousness, he is as safe as if he were in heaven. That's quite a statement, isn't it? If we trust in God, there's not anything that can shake us. And give ourselves to him, give our burdens to him. I want to read some of the song, number 267 in our hymnal, The Evening Light Songbook, by Edwin Whitmore. Cast thy cares upon the Savior. He will bear them all for thee. And thy soul, which now is burdened, shall be kept forever free. Cast thy cares upon the Savior, the chorus says, goes. Refrain, he will gladly bear them all, even though they seem like mountains. Even though they may be small. He'll take them all, won't he? He'll do that. Why should we be burdened so deep with things? Give it to the Lord. Let our hand off of it. The worries of the future. The sorrows of the past. The things that we see ahead. Give them to the Lord, folks. And if we'll do that, he'll carry not only our burden, but he'll carry us too, along with our burden. We can climb on that truck too. Verse 2 says, cast thy burdens all on Jesus, leaning on his gentle breast. And if storms do gather round thee, sweet will be thy peaceful rest. Put your trust alone in Jesus, verse 3, trusting not in human arm. And if cast within the furnace, he will keep thee from all harm. Let's practice these things.
Yes.
We sing about them.
Yes.
We read about them. We see others that have done them. We've seen those who have went before us. Let's be one of those pilgrims that sets our sight on heaven and says, I will never carry something that I know won't go through the gates of heaven. And I'll never carry something that I know is going to bog me down before I get there. If we can't carry it to California, then put it on the truck. And if we can't get it to heaven with it, then put it on the Lord. Can we not do that this morning? Another Psalm, 35:5. Commit thy way. Listen to this. Commit thy way, 37:5, I'm sorry, unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Folks, that word commit, and this is from Clark as well, but he says, roll thy way upon the Lord. Probably a metaphor taken from the camel who lies down till his load be rolled upon him. He shall bring it to pass. He will work. Trust God and he will work for thee. You know, this morning, sometimes it's hard work to get the burden where it needs to be. And I'm sure on those camels, it probably didn't always go just right. And maybe they moved around while it was going on. They had to work at it a little. Excuse me. Let that be the work that we do. The work we do to roll it upon the Lord, to commit it to the Lord. Okay. You know, that wasn't the end of the story with Jesus. In Matthew 27:46, he said, "And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?' That is to say, 'My God, why hast thou forsaken me?'" Do you know this morning that when it came time to carry the cross, because after they beat him, he was supposed to carry the cross. You know, Jesus didn't have the strength to do that either. And they had to put it on one Simon. And they found a man from a distance that was from another place, and they put it on him. And he carried the cross. Do you know this morning, it's not something of weakness that we say, "I can't carry that. Lord, this is for you." Or we may have to get some help. That was a physical thing there. Jesus needed help. He wasn't able to carry his cross. And there was a man there that helped him carry it. You know, then when he was on the cross, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" You know, he felt forsaken. He did. He felt forsaken. Why would he feel forsaken? The Lord had strengthened him, and he knew it was coming all along. He knew that's what he was here for. He told his mother and dad when he was 12 years old, I've got to be about my Father's business. I think Jesus knew. I don't know when all he knew all that was coming to him, but I imagine when he saw some of those crucifixions, he knew this is coming my way too. And you know, he felt forsaken up there. But you know, in that, he wasn't forsaken, was he? So when we come to our places, let's let, because we feel something, let's recognize God's been strengthening me. He's been helping me, and he's not going to dump me now. He's not going to stop helping me now. We may feel forsaken ourselves sometime, but I believe the Lord really let him feel the full weight of our sins, because he was paying a price that me and you should have paid, and we didn't have to pay this morning. You know, I was thinking about Job. Back in Job, the first chapter, in the 19th verse, we find a man that it says, "Behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped to tell thee." Now, this is at the end of a lot of other things that had happened already. "Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped." That's what he did. Instead of saying, "Why?" Instead of saying, "That's not right. God shouldn't do that to me." He worshipped the Lord. And you know what he said? "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Well, encourage us this morning not to live below our privileges. Folks, it's too heavy for Job. It would have been too heavy for Job to carry the weight of all of this. You know, he didn't know why any more than we would. He didn't understand what was going on. He didn't have a clue. But you know what he said? "Blessed be the name of the Lord." I didn't have nothing when I came, and I'm going to have nothing when I leave. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, this morning, let's roll it over on God. I believe Job had to learn some things there. Everybody turned down on him, even his wife. Why don't you just curse God and die? But no, Job knew the Lord, didn't he? And you know, there's an end to this story. Job threw it. See, he knew the Lord, and he said, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Do you know, Job knew that the Lord was his God. That's important for us. Now, that's where our struggle needs to be. We need to know the Lord. We need to seek him until we do know him. Humble ourselves until we are completely, as Jesus said, not my will, but thine be done. And when we do that, I will tell you, that's when the grace of God begins to work. If we hold on to our own way, I will tell you, it'll never work. In the second chapter, we go on in verse 7, and it says, So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this Job did not sin. In all this did not Job sin with his lips. That's some of our examples, folks. And so this morning, I just want to encourage us to give it to the Lord. Job had to do that. He had to come to a place of full surrender and say, I know my Redeemer liveth. I don't know about any of this stuff. I have not a clue what's going on in my life, but I know my Redeemer liveth. And you know, this morning I want to encourage us to know our Redeemer lives and to know him. Seek him until he speaks to you. Seek him until you know the Lord has met me. I've met the Lord. The Lord talked to me. You know, I think about those old patriarchs, Jacob and Abraham. I can only imagine Abraham. It had a major effect on his children and grandchildren. But I can only imagine Abraham sitting down with Isaac and Jacob and those around him, his children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and beginning to tell them, God met me one day. You know, I was standing out by my tent, and I went up, and I invited these people, these men, to stay. And the Lord was one of them. And the Lord met me there and began to tell me things about. And you know, Jacob, he met God, didn't he? Says he wrestled all night one night until his thigh was out of joint. But you know, excuse me. He found the Lord. And so this morning, folks, I know this is not a shouting message. Forgive me for that. Or I shouldn't apologize. I'm sorry. But you know what, folks? This is where we live. This is where we have to get the victory through our life. Fight through it. Don't let the devil paint all kinds of whys, what's going on. Folks, there's been men and women that went before us that went through those things. And you know what? In the end, God met them. In the end, they were more blessed than they were ever blessed before. We find that again and again. Some of them paid the ultimate price and went on to heaven. Wow, wouldn't that be an awful price to pay? To go on to heaven. You know, this morning, we've got to change our way of thinking a little bit. James 5 and 10 says, Take my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example. of suffering, affliction, and of patience. And then we find in Hebrews 11 and 36, and it tells us 36 to 38, and others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. You know, Jesus wasn't the only one that was scourged, was he? Yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment, they were stoned. They were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. You know, the Lord had something better that wasn't there when a lot of those people lived. But folks, we have that now. We have the fullness of His promise. The fullness that the Spirit of God can dwell in our heart. That whatever goes on around us, as Stephen and those that were endured those things. Stephen was stoned, but you know what? He saw into heaven and the glory of God appeared to him. I'd say that was quite a little thing there that went on. And Paul was there to see that. In James 5 and 11, it says, "Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." Do you know this morning, that's the end of the Lord. I hope you found that to be true in your life too. I have found, I don't know, in God's wisdom, He says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all." And you know, I don't know why it seems like we've had our share of afflictions. We've had plenty of them. But you know what I've seen? I've seen the Lord deliver miraculously, wonderfully, time after time. You know, I don't tell my children all about the weary days of the affliction so much. You really forget about that after the Lord's healed you somewhat. But you know, those things, those nuggets of faith, they come from us seeking the Lord and getting the grace that He has for us. Casting our burdens upon Him. And I want to tell you, I've seen the Lord heal. After it looked like, well, how's this going to go? How, you know, this is bad. And it was. But you know what? I've seen the Lord over and over do what He does. And heal and bless. And He'll bless you too this morning. Maybe a few other places here. I think about this Psalm of David in Psalms 22. Psalm 22, starting at verse 1. David felt these same ways, folks, that some of us feel at times. It seems like there's just those times. It's not all the time by any means. But there is. David said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not. And in the night season, I'm not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Why did he say that? Here he was talking about, Lord, I've been crying and where are you? You haven't been hearing. And in the same turn he says, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Do you know that David had lived a while? He had been out in those hills tending to those sheep, knowing the Lord, praying to Him, calling upon God, God helping him in his troubles, in his battles. And when he got to this one, it was another one like that. Oh, there's the lion. Why is the lion here? Why do I have to face the lion? The lion can kill me. But no, the Lord helps David. And he rises up and takes care of that. And then the bear and different times. Folks, it's real important that we win our battles, that we don't lay down and let the enemy just have his way. Because when we do that and the next battle comes as it will, we won't have what we need for it. But David knew when he was in this, he said here, "But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men, despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn." I don't know all about this psalm and all about what was going on, but I know David saw a lot of ups and a lot of downs, but he found God in the midst of all of it. And so, as simple as this little message is, I encourage us this morning, oh, our fathers trusted in him, and they were blessed and not confounded. Can we not set that stage, that same thing for our families and for our children? Can we not say, I don't know why the Lord's not doing anything here. I don't know why the Lord seems like he's not hearing, but I know my Redeemer lives. I know that our fathers trusted in him. I know in the past what he did for us, and I know God will meet our needs now. He says down in verse 8, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighteth in him. That sounds like Jesus, doesn't it? But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. No matter what happens, Lord, you're my God. And I'm going to keep following hard after you. And I want to know you. For be not far from me, for trouble is near. For there is none to help. And I know David felt a lot of things sometimes. Said, my heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. But I want to encourage us this morning. Roll your burden on the Lord. When you feel that way, do what David did. Roll it over on the Lord. You're the one that's always been there, Lord. You was there for those before me. You was there for the ones in the Bible. You've been there in my life. And now I know you're going to help me now. I will not carry this. I will not let this trouble me until I lose my soul. I'll not let this be such a weight that I can't go on. I'll read one more place and then a little bit of a song. Psalm 28 and 6. To 9. Blessed be the Lord. This is another Psalm of David. Because he hath heard the voice of my supplications. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him. And I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving strength of his anointed. Save thy people, and bless thine inheritance. Feed them also, and lift them up forever. That's blessed words, isn't it? For you and me. The song says, this is never alone, number 489. When in affliction's valley, excuse me. When in affliction's valley, I'm treading the road of care. My Savior helps me to carry my cross when heavy to bear. The chorus says, no, never alone, no, never alone. He promised never to leave me. Never to leave me alone. No, never alone. No, never alone. He promised never to leave me. Never to leave me alone. I want to leave us with that this morning. The Lord promised not to leave us alone, folks. I hope we can take our courage this morning and whip out our sword on the enemy. Our sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, the promises of God, and use it and allow the benefits of God to come to us. If we try to do it all on our own, we try to figure it all out. Yeah, but you don't understand this. No, I don't. Maybe I don't. But I know who does. Give it to Him. And when he wants to give you understanding, let Him give you understanding. You know, well, this trouble that's upon me, it's upon me. You don't know how bad it is. Folks, I have heard those words. I know it's true. I don't know how bad it is. But I do know that there is one that will carry those burdens. Yes, let's roll them over on the Lord. Let's expend our effort to get them over there. Lord, take this. If we have to sweat as great drops of blood, get it over there and get it on the Lord. And let Him minister to us, because that is what He does. We must not settle for less. That is what He does. He gives us that special grace when we have to have it. Y'all pray for me.